Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie.
Welcome,
hey,
guys.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
It's been a minute, and we appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. It's been a rough couple weeks, on both ends. I mean, it's that time of year. Every sickness is, you know, going around. People are falling downstairs. It's fine.
It happens, okay?
Yeah, I don't judge. I fell on my sidewalk not that long ago, so it's fine.
I probably would have been okay if I hadn't then decided to go work out the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what did it.
Yeah, that's probably not great, but... Yeah.
So, little word of advice, if you guys ever fall down some stairs, even if you don't feel bad the next day, don't go work out. Give it a few days.
Unless you're maybe like 20 and then you like have quick recovery time, but even then it's probably,
Yeah, not so much. Felt like that old lady from those commercials. It's like, help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
With the hand out.
Yeah.
Yep. I know. Definitely been there. Usually it's just my pride that's hurt, but at least you were inside, you know?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It still like tightens up and it's cramps up a bit. Like, am I sitting? Yeah. So like, this is still a little, but it's definitely significantly better than it was at the beginning of the week.
Well, good. I'm glad you're just improving.
Yeah. So thanks, you guys, for being patient. This is probably, you know, another reason why we should try to stay ahead of the game with recording, but...
Correct. We were trying to figure it out, and, like, we were going to make it happen, and then we were just like, this is stupid. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. We're human, and things come
this
up.
This is a free podcast. Like,
yeah. Yeah. This is a hobby for us, so...
Yeah. Except, yeah. I mean, like, our Patreon member, or one... God bless her soul.
Louise.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being patient with us. But she's going to get this episode before everyone else.
Yeah. So what now, huh? Number one fan. But yeah, that's, we still at least aren't behind in the fact that like, we'll still be on schedule. That was my thing. The OCD in me was like, we can't miss a whole week because it throws everything off. And then our year anniversary won't be on a year. And you know, so it's fine. That's we'll just do two this week.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Mine's a shorter one as well. And so I don't know, obviously, what your case is next for the next one, Cassie. So at least we'll keep them kind of short-ish, at least this one. So that way we don't take up too much of your time.
Well, and it was like we were kind of discussing before we started recording, you know, this is still Indigenous Peoples Month. We are still covering those cases. And unfortunately, that's why these are shorter episodes, too. There's hardly
it's
ever
really,
any.
Yeah. It's sad and it's very eye-opening when you're looking up the cases and it's like, okay, I mean, you know that that's a thing, but until you're like actively looking for the information, it's like, oh, there's really nothing. And it's very, very sad. And it's just terrible, especially this day and age, the fact that it hasn't gotten any better with time. You know, you would like to think that with time and just, you know, being out there more, that people would be more aware of it, but that's unfortunately not the case. So,
yeah,
mine this week, it's a pretty recent case and it's from our parts pretty much. I had not heard one part of this information or this story. So that says a lot and it's very sad. So, I don't know. Do we have anything else we need to really touch
Listen,
on
at this,
before we
at this point,
jump
I
in.
Don't know, and it will be recording again in a few days. So if we forgot something, we'll
hit
we'll
you
do
then.
It. But I say, go ahead and dive right in.
Yeah. Okay. So, this week we are going to be talking about Ashley Aldrich. I guess she's part of the Omaha Reservation, but technically the town is Macy, Nebraska. For those of you who are familiar, I have never heard of that. But it's clearly around the Omaha area. So Ashley Aldrich, she was a mother of two little boys who she loved and adored. They are adorable too. I did find pictures of them. They're just the cutest. She was said to be very involved with them and she would often just spend time with them. She loved reading with them and building puzzles with them. They said that she was always like on the floor actively playing with her kids. So hats off to her for that, because I know it's easy to shove an iPad in front of your kids a lot of the time. So guilty. But
sometimes it's hard to get down on that floor.
Yeah, And when you fall down the stairs, it's like really hard to get down on the floor then. That's the only way we get on the floor these days is if we're like forced to fall on the floor.
Yeah.
So she was just a very happy person. I was actually surprised I did find as much information just about her as a person that as I did, because a lot of the sources I used, there's one from the the Sioux City Journal, which I can link that to for you. But that was the one that was the best written article that I found the most information from. They describe her as being a very happy person. A lot of the people that knew her described her as being kind of shy, but her mom said that she was actually just a spitfire. And she said that, you know, many would think that she wasn't, but she liked to kind of keep people, you know, on that side of her until she knew him really well. So she was very artistic and she loved drawing. She graduated high school in 2009 and she then became very interested in cosmetology. So she actually attended school for that and she received a diploma in 2010. She was a member of the Omaha tribe and she was even a former employee of the tribe. I'm not sure exactly what she did, but they said that she did work for the tribe. So very involved. She had a high school boyfriend that she had dated off and on, and around 2011, they actually got back together. So they were together, and they actually, he fathered both of her boys. So the relationship, it sounds like it was always kind of a violent relationship, always on his behalf. There were several calls that were actually made to the police about this. In one instance, her mom, Tilly, was her name. I think that's a cute name.
That's a cute name. I like that.
Yeah, isn't it? And I love her mom too. Just everything I saw about her, she just seems like a class act. You know, she was a good person. So she said that she remembers one time when she went to visit Ashley because Ashley lived with her boyfriend and they had a house with their two boys. So when Tilly went to visit her, this was in 2017, she said that Ashley was actually in the shower and there was blood all over her clothes and all over the couch and even the walls.
Oh, so, God.
Yeah. Naturally, her mom's very upset. So she actually emailed the Omaha Tribal Council about this experience and they ended up charging the boyfriend, which nowhere can I find his name. Multiple places I've looked, no name. So unfortunately, we'll just call him the boyfriend.
Well, and if it was tribal police who took care of it and not, like, I'm sure those records are sealed. Not public information. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he was actually charged with domestic disturbance and endangering the welfare of children. But then 1 month later, the charges were dismissed. No explanation as to why. There were actually four other recorded instances at the hands of the boyfriend. So there was a couple in 2013, 2014, and 2016. The problem with the reports that were made was it never said who the victim actually was. So I don't know who was taking these reports, and I guess I don't know the protocol that they follow within that, you know, like, but still, like, clearly this guy is an issue and they've tried to seek help many times. And he kind of just, it's like the, Tilly, Ashley's mom, later actually talks about him being, it's the bro experience, she says, because, you know, they probably knew him and whatever, it's fine. So, out of all four of those, he was actually only charged once. And the rest of those charges were dropped. So I don't know if he served time for that or not. It never really said, but all of this is just seems to be happening quite often, unfortunately. So in 2018, Ashley naturally turns to alcohol. I mean, can you blame her? Like, she's trying to get help.
Yeah.
She has two kids with this guy, probably feels very trapped. And it probably just, it's like, once again, why seek help? They're not going to do anything anyway.
Well, and another thing is, you know, victims of domestic violence, mental abuse, verbal abuse, all those things, you know, it's not as simple as just being like, oh, well, I'm going to get up and go. But then you add in children, you add in the fact that she's a minority whose her own people's police aren't helping her.
Correct.
And, you know, we've already established that minorities, people of color, Native Americans, Indigenous peoples tend to not trust police officers in general.
Right.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
So it feels like this is something that's just, and I know we talked about the statistics where Indigenous and Native women are at the highest rate of any other minority group for that domestic violence. So it sounds like this poor woman just didn't have the resources she needed to get the help to get out of there.
And it's sad because it sounds like her parents were so supportive and tried so hard. I mean, we'll talk about that a little more too. But like at this point, she's just a hot mess, but like, you can't blame her because I can't imagine how depressed you would be being in that situation. So, you know, turning to alcohol, you know, she easily, that's an easy way to go. And they say that she was an alcoholic. So around this time she's turning to alcohol. They said she was losing a lot of weight and just always seemed depressed, stressed. Her parents knew that she was really having a hard time with everything. And so they actually helped take care of her boys. So they took the boys in with them, which sounds like it's a, you know, safe environment anyway.
Yeah.
They said though that Ashley was still very involved with the boys, but they were staying with her parents. So in 2019, she actually checked into a detox center and stayed there for 4 days. And when she got out of there, she tried to get into like a long-term rehab center, but there was no beds open anywhere.
Ugh.
And that's so sad too, because it's like, here she is actively trying to get help. And that's like the first step, you know, and she couldn't find anywhere to go. So she ends up going back home. So let's see. Okay. So that's, we're still like November, 2019.
Okay.
There was this instance where she was actually taken to the hospital. Her hand was completely purple and she had fingernails missing. And she kind of laughed about it and told her mom that she had just slammed her hand in the door and it was no big deal. Her mom said they knew it was something that had to do with her boyfriend and she was too scared to speak up and it was just getting worse. So after this happened, she started staying with her parents quite often. She would occasionally go back home to the house where the boyfriend lived, but she was staying with them. So her mom specifically said on December 26th of 2019, around 2 a.m., I guess Ashley went outside to smoke a cigarette and her mom was up and saw her. And, you know, she said she knew that Ashley was leaving. She just had a feeling she was leaving, but she begged her to stay. But she still just went outside and she got in a car with someone. And her mom said she didn't know who the car was, who the person driving the car was. And she asked her the next day, because she does come back and she asks her who it was. And she was very vague and would never say what that was all about. But it was just like a weird thing. So then about 2 weeks after that, her mom gets a text from Ashley's sister. And Ashley's sister said that someone had told her on January 5th, they saw Ashley in her boyfriend's car. He drove a big SUV and she was in the passenger seat and it looked like she had been beaten up really bad. I don't know what that looks like or how they came to that conclusion, but they said something was definitely wrong. So obviously her parents are concerned. So on January 6th, Ashley's dad was out working. I'm not sure what he did, but he actually saw her boyfriend's, the SUV that he had been in, and it was just parked out in a field. Like they had just abandoned it out in the field. So he goes to look at it. He looks inside. He doesn't see anything. He sees footprints kind of around the car, and he could tell that it was probably his daughter's and then the boyfriend. He couldn't tell which direction or which way the car prints had come from. But he just kind of keeps looking around and he's looking around a bridge area. And then suddenly her boyfriend drives up next to the dad, but he's in a different vehicle this time. And, you know, her dad's like, where's Ashley? And he said that his vehicle had gotten stuck in the mud and that's why he was in a different car. And Ashley had gone to get help for them, but she had never came back. So
likely story,
right? Very sus.
Also, you have an SUV that got stuck,
right? And I have a picture of it, and it's like a big ass like Suburban. Like it's not even like a little like Escaper. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So okay, buddy. So her dad thinks that's odd and he's concerned. And so, you know, like any parent would be. So he actually goes to the tribal council and reports this. So this is kind of like one of those eerie things, because while he's there, he can hear the police scanners and he hears someone requesting an officer because they had a call with a woman screaming for help and because she had found someone. So this later is determined that that was his daughter, that I don't know her name, Ashley's sister, was calling because she had found her sister's body.
Oh so, my God.
Just a terrible like coincidence that all happened and he realized that. So
did it say, sorry to interrupt. Did it say like how long had it been since we know December 26th and this was a couple weeks later, but like when was the last time her parents had seen her? Like had it been a few days?
Yes, because they actually had reported her missing, it said. I could never find the date on that because, once again, these details are very, like, just not there. On January 5th was when someone said they had seen her with the boyfriend.
Right.
And then it's later determined that they believe she died sometime that night, the night of January 5th. They don't actually give an actual time of that. But yeah, it's very hard to find those details.
Timeline's a little muddled.
Yes. Okay. So her sister's looking for her too, like I had said. And unfortunately she does find her, out in that field, not very far from that SUV that was abandoned out there. So she said that she was face down, beaten, covered in mud, and was naked. And she was only about a fourth mile from her house. So pretty quickly after she's found, police just say the death was accidental. They said that she, I know this case, like to me, I cannot believe that this, I had never heard of it. I don't know if any of this is familiar to you, being that it was this close in our area. Yeah.
Right before the pandemic. Well, and then it's like, would have been right before the pandemic and that stuff was like, so one, you already have a woman of a Native American heritage who's less likely to be covered, but then you have the whole thing going on with the back and forth and is this big deal. God, how is it an accidental death if she was naked?
It doesn't make any sense. Just you wait. So they said that she must have wandered off when she was drunk. Of course, you know, they just blame that on the alcohol as well. They said that after having done the autopsy, it was officially listed as accidental, and it was the result of hypothermia complication acute alcohol toxicity. So they're basically saying she was drunk and just went out there and then passed out and, I mean, died from the cold.
I know that when like you go into hypothermia, a lot of times they would find people who died of hypothermia naked and they would think it was some sort of sexual assault thing because you get really hot and then you strip down and stuff. But if she's battered.
And they don't talk about her clothes being anywhere nearby.
If her clothes aren't nearby.
That's what I thought was super sus. Like, I know. I don't even know how they come to that conclusion, especially looking at the background of the boyfriend's domestic assault.
And so is this the tribe council taking care of this, or is this now like local police?
Well, it didn't really say, to be honest. And so I hate to say it was one or the other because, from what it sounds like of the things that I've read, it sounds like none of them that were involved, whether it was tribal, police, federal, any of that, nobody seem to really care. They still won't even say if this is an open investigation to this day. So there's a lot of very suspicious stuff going down. So like I said, you know, they did the autopsy and then Ashley's family, you know, of course was able to view her and identify her, which nobody wants to do that anyway. But you know, when they did, they were told by authorities that she had not been sexually assaulted or strangled and, you know, there was no bruising on her body. However, when Ashley's family viewed her, they noticed immediately she had a black eye. She had little welts all over her and a very swollen nose. The authorities said that these injuries were just consistent with the way her body was found laying in the mud. I call bullshit.
100%.
Yes.
And the thing is if her sister's the one who found her, she would have already seen.
Yes. Yes. And what? They had just seen her beat up in a car. Like, okay. I think it's all a little. Yeah. And like, okay, the alcohol in her system. They already knew that she was an alcoholic. So that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You can't blame it on that just because.
That doesn't mean you deserve
to die. It's a fallback. No.
And it doesn't mean that it's okay that someone that you don't need to. Well, they were an alcoholic. So why bother looking into it? Like, what the fuck kind of mindset is that? That's bullshit.
Yeah. Like, think about everybody has their vices. So, like, are you going to pin it on any one of those? I mean, I do not understand that. So, then it was kind of interesting because it said that on January 10th, her boyfriend was charged with criminal homicide, homicide, contempt, and failure to aid the police. He was held in Macy, Nebraska, in like a detention center, but was released shortly after. That's all it ever said on that. I don't know if they just took it, I mean, charged him or arrested him because of just some of the things, but like they didn't look into it. And if they said it was accidental, then why was he even arrested? I don't understand it. And that I couldn't find anything that made sense of that. So another thing that was very interesting was that when they found her, her back and legs were like completely covered in mud. So I don't know if it was someone trying to cover her up, but I find that hard to believe that somehow that would have happened to her. Like she would have done that to herself. And there were no abrasions or mud on her feet. Okay. So she was dropped there. Like she obviously didn't walk or there would be mud on her feet. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't even go to school for this. And I feel like we can say there's all these red flags right there. And it really pisses me off.
It also makes you wonder if, God forbid, she was sexually assaulted there. And then after they killed her, they couldn't look at her, but they didn't want to cover her up with anything that might have their DNA. So they rolled her over, because we know that's also a thing with people when they murder someone close to them, they'll oftentimes want to cover them because they don't want to associate what they've just done.
Well, and if the boyfriend, obviously, I mean, it could have been anyone, we know that, but like, everything that goes along with him, it's kind of like just falls into place. And of course his DNA would be on her anyway, because he lives with her. It's her boyfriend. They share a lot of things. So it's like, it's easy to say, well, yeah, you know, they were sleeping together. They have children. And
it would be easy to say, oh, it was consensual.
Yes, exactly.
Her for that. And that,
and like, did they even really test her is my question. If they were that quick to be like, oh, it was an accident. Okay, let me see the rape kit. Let me see this. Like, I feel like
they probably didn't. If they're saying that her swollen nose and bruises are because she felt like just because of how she was found.
Yes, it was total BS. And I don't understand it. And so like her family obviously was like, no, they completely disagreed. And they said that everyone that handled this was just negligent and they clearly wanted a very quickly closed case. So that just spawned a lot of heat, you know, and anger from everybody in the community. So her mom posted this picture on her Facebook. It's still on there because I went and looked, and I'll share pictures of that. And she has a picture on there of the SUV out in the field. And then you can actually see a picture where they had just like put a sheet over Ashley's body out in the field, and she posted it with this long caption. I don't have the whole thing on there, but basically it said, this is what happens when police do not listen to things that are going on. Like, we made several calls about the boyfriend. You didn't do anything. And now our daughter is dead. You care more about bro code than you do about protecting women. So very, very heated, you know, and she just mentions how like they did all the right things. They called every time there was an issue. Like, they can't control their daughter from going back there, but they tried to help. And by even taking in her kids, you know, they were protecting the kids because they knew he was a monster. So Amy Adams, she was a spokesperson with the FBI's Omaha office. She told the media that she could neither confirm or deny an investigation into the cause of her death. So, okay, that's pretty sad right there. I even read an article one of the articles I guess I had read, it was like, you know, a year later type thing. And it was talking about when Gabby Petito went missing, everybody in the world knew about it within minutes. Yeah. And we had updates every minute. And they're like, and then this happens and it's not even looked into and nobody knew anything. And it's so hard to find any information even on this case. So that alone says a whole lot. And, you know, of course her family is heartbroken. They said that they couldn't protect her. Law enforcement couldn't protect her and no law would protect her. So they're huge advocates, of course, now for like domestic violence and just in general, they said they don't want any family to have to go through this again. And they said, you know, even though she was an alcoholic, she was a very good woman and she loved her children immensely. So I think too, is it just because she was an alcoholic? They're like, yeah, she's not, it doesn't matter. Like, well, it's sad.
That and then being an, because the thing is like alcoholism is a disease.
Correct.
You're not going to say that someone who has an autoimmune disease deserved to die because, well, right, they already had a disease. No. Right.
It's just the same. I know. And it's just because people judge and it's the way society views it, you know, but it's like, I mean, it's really sad that her family even had to say that, like remind people that she still was a mother and she was 29 when she died. So, I mean, very young still. And this part gets me extremely angry. So they did have like a funeral on January 11th for her. And, you know, they had a lot of people that did like memorials and stuff. So Ashley had a niece who was a senior in high school. And I didn't get the name of the school, but I'm going to assume it's somewhere nearby. They said though that she was a part of the Winnebago tribe. So
I actually looked up to see where Macy's was.
Okay. Yes.
And this is sad too. Our education is sorely lacking. I've lived in Nebraska my whole life. I did not know we had Native American reservations in Nebraska. No. So we have the Winnebago Reservation and the Omaha Reservation are both very close to each other.
Okay.
And Macy is like right outside there. But then there's Winnebago, there's the Winnebago, and it's like northeastern Nebraska.
Okay. So like northeast of us, like Omaha, or just like above? I mean, because I didn't even look to see where. I knew because it said the Omaha tribe that it was obviously in this area. But
so for us, it's like more. Okay. So like for us, it's more like north of us.
Okay. Yeah.
A little northwest of us.
Okay.
Northwest of Omaha, but like northeastern part of Nebraska.
So Winnebago tribe is also in Nebraska.
Yes.
So interesting.
The Omaha reservation and the Winnebago reservation are both, it looks like they border each other. Okay. This is funny. So I've heard of Pender because
I have too.
My family's from West Point, Nebraska. And so this is even above West Point. So there's West Point, Beamer, and Pender. I've heard of all those, but it's crazy. I've never heard.
I know. Well, and when this week I knew I had Nebraska, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'll find anything. Oh, no. There was quite a few. And that's when it was, I mean, even to me, I felt very ignorant in the fact that I did not know that either. So it was like, okay, clearly I need to educate myself more on that too, because I had no idea.
Yeah. And that's obviously something that, you know, we're trying to do. We're trying to educate ourselves. I've gotten behind. Obviously, I've been looking at the cases in other states.
Mm-hmm.
I did send you that one I had seen about the school, but that seemed like, I think that was from the 70s.
Yes.
60s or 70s.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I guess that's...
I know. Well, and the fact that this one was so recent and we're in this area and we still didn't hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So her cousin then was obviously close to the area. That's kind of the vibe I had got from what I had read anyway. So she was, her name was Danette and she was a senior in high school, like I had said. So, she was clearly very upset by this. And so she really wanted to just bring attention, not only to Ashley, but to Indigenous women who are abused, murdered, forgotten, and silenced. So she was a cheerleader at her school that she went to, and her cheerleading squad actually planned a memorial at the school's home basketball game. So she had just a very brief thing. She had spoke to the superintendent about it and he approved it. So the day before the game, he changed his mind and told them that it wasn't appropriate and that they couldn't do it. So I like this Donette because she was just like, okay, screw you. I'm still doing it. So, and same with the squad. They all were like on it too. So they didn't let that stop them. So this was the last basketball game, home game. And she was a senior. So it was like her last basketball game to cheer at home for. So it was a big deal to begin with. This was January 28th. So it was only a couple weeks really after they had found Ashley. Donette and her squad walked out onto the court and they were all holding pictures of Ashley and they all had red handprints painted over their mouths. Talk about goosebumps. Like I have goosebumps right now reading that. And they said it was just like silent. And for those of you who don't know, I know we've talked about it, but the symbol, the red handprint is the symbol of missing and murdered Indigenous women, that movement. So then later on during the game, I don't know at what point this was, but they actually moved back to the middle of the court and they held up pictures of Ashley. They said it was like a very powerful, intense moment. And there was lots of tears and just everyone was grieving. The coach asked them to move off the court and told them to wash their faces. They thought at first this was like the coach saying like, I care about you guys, go have your time alone in the locker room, like grieve by yourselves. No, they found out later that the coach actually sided with the superintendent on that. They all said it was extremely inappropriate. And then get this, the next day, the high school canceled the rest of the cheer season. They tried to say that it was a violation of a contract by saying that the girls had brought food and drinks onto the court. Total bullshit. And what? Donette was like, yeah, she said none of that was true. None of them have signed any agreements. And it was just very clear that the school coach and superintendent wanted to silence Indigenous women and they just wanted to avoid the scrutiny. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, this was her senior year and this was her last time to do that. And they just took it away from her. And so she was pissed and she was like even more heated now. And she, you know, this has to stop. Like this day and age too, you're going to do that. Like, I don't get that. And of course, another fact, I know we probably read this again, but I just wanted to say it again, how homicide is among the leading cause of death for non-Hispanic American Indian and Alaska Native women. It is also said that predators know that these crimes against Indigenous women often go unreported or investigated. So it makes them easier to target these women. So that is another reason why it needs to be addressed, because this is so sad. This was like 2 years ago, you know, I don't understand this. So it's been that long and there is still no updates, no arrests, no charges. They won't even say if it's an active investigation. So
this is another
family
one that we
has
need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is another one we need to be getting a hold of Unsolved Mysteries. So we have people putting pressure on them.
Oh yeah.
To do this. Like what the hell?
I know. Isn't that sick? I just like, I could not believe that. Like I read several things and I was just blown away that this happened in Nebraska and we have no idea. And like, this has been, I mean, that happened during the time of social media. So it's not even like we have that reason to not have heard about it. That should have been all over the place. And I don't remember ever hearing this at all.
And like I said, again, the fact that like then we shut down fairly soon, you know, a couple months after that, the pandemic didn't help. But I mean, let's be honest, even if the pandemic hadn't happened, we wouldn't have heard about this.
No, no. And then even now, when you just Google her name, it's very limited things that you find. She still does have a Facebook page, obviously. You can't see a lot on it anyway, but it is kind of sweet because you can see pictures of her with her little boys. I did see a picture of the boyfriend on there, and that's the only thing I've ever even seen of him. Her mom still has an active Facebook page that's not private. So, I mean, you can see some of the things because like that post specifically, I thought was powerful too. And I think her family is just like desperate for help and answers too. And they're like, you know, they don't want this to happen to other people because clearly it's happening all the time and nobody even hears. And there was all the signs there and they could have prevented this and they didn't.
If they hadn't dropped all those charges against him, there's no reason why he shouldn't still be in jail right now.
Right. And I don't understand I literally read one little snippet that said he was charged with that, and then it was never talked about again. So I don't even know, like, the fact that the information was even just lacking was not,
yeah,
it's terrible. So that's why it's short, because even that alone just says a lot about why this is an issue when you can't even find information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the story of Ashley Aldridge, the Omaha tribe.
Wow. See, and that's like, so then I was thinking about it, because I was like, okay, I've been up to Niobrara, you know, mm-hmm. gone down the Niobrara River, and I guess I'm, first of all, geography is not my strong suit, okay?
Me neither. That's why we have Google Maps.
So I guess I assumed it was somewhere close, you know, like, close to South Dakota, which it kind of is, but like, because I know we went gambling at a casino there that was on a reservation. Mm-hmm. But I didn't put two and two. For some reason, I felt like we weren't in Nebraska anymore. But there's several reservations mm-hmm. in Nebraska.
I know. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't ever hear about it, and it's sad. But, I mean, it makes sense, and we're so close to other states that do have the big population. So it's like, well, obviously, we probably would as well. So that makes me want to look into it more, because, like, I wasn't even aware. But yeah, I mean, there's a whole Omaha Tribe of Nebraska site and everything where you can, I mean, read more about that specific tribe.
And I guess, like, I know 89.7 The River does stuff for one of the reservations near here.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I haven't listened to the radio in so long, but they would do stuff for, like, donations for the kids, for gifts, for shoes, for clothes, for fuel, like propane and stuff like that. But I don't know why I always thought it was just probably because they're an Iowa, like, radio station, technically. They're out at Iowa Community College or whatever it is, they're in Iowa. They're at a college in Iowa.
That's why sometimes I can't get signal on my radio. Right.
Well, and see, and that just goes to show then my own privilege and the stuff that I'm trying to educate myself in, that I've, you know, been unaware of this, and that, you know, I'd hear about those things occasionally, but you know, you don't put two and two together, I guess. And that says a lot about my own ignorance. It says a lot too about the way we're raised, the way we're taught, like we're not taught any of that. I mean, our history is very whitewashed, let's be honest.
To say that I have been, like, embarrassed several times when my daughter has come home from school and said, did you know about X, Y, and Z? I mean, not even necessarily, like, Native American things, but even things, just racism things about Black people that I didn't even know. She's like, you never heard of that? And I'm like, nope.
See, and that's, you know, where, and it's, hopefully, these younger generations are going to be taught things that we were never taught.
Yes, because it's so important.
It's so important. We're trying to get, you know, those things taught in school, which, especially in Nebraska, obviously, we're still having issues with people getting upset about that. All sorts of, like, heaven forbid we have inclusion and things and all that stuff. I could go off on a tangent on that. But I'm glad that the kids are being taught these things. Like, Columbus wasn't this great person.
Right. Well, and especially with Thanksgiving this week, I feel like, you know, when you're younger, you just hear the traditional story and you don't know, and it doesn't matter. But it's like, actually, when you think about it, and, you know, this along the same lines, kind of, I had gone on a field trip with my daughter's class last year, and we were at the Durham Museum, and they were talking about the Omaha tribe. And the lady who was giving, you know, the talk about it said something about how then settlers came in and took their land, and kids, you know, without filters, he asked, why would we do that? That's terrible, you know? And we're all like, yeah, exactly.
Yes, it is.
We all think the same thing. And so I'm like, kids even recognize that that's not okay. So I think it's really sad. All of it's sad. And it's like, well, no wonder a lot of them turn to some of these things, because they have no one that is taking care of them or helping them, and they're having to live in poverty because of it. And it's very unfortunate.
Yep.
There's my tangent.
It's a heartbreaking thing. So I need to put this week, because again, sitting in one specific way is difficult for me this week. So I haven't done I've already got articles and stuff I've just got to read and put together some stuff for mine. It's going to be slightly different. I feel like I always say that. I'm like, this is going to be slightly different at this point. It's whatever.
It's fine. But it'll be different than the other ones because it's a new case. So there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, it's looking at the poverty of a certain reservation and stuff like that. And, which I don't care. I'm going to tell people. I'm going to be talking about, like, what I'm trying to cover is the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, which is like the poorest reservation. And so I'm going to be talking about that and some of the statistics with that stuff. And it's amazing too, and I'll obviously talk about this more when we get to that, but in researching that case, there have been things from early this year, women who have gone missing, found dead, and there's nothing more on the case. She went missing then, she was found then.
End of story.
And this was in February. I'm like, we're now almost at the end of the year and there's no updates. There's nothing more that I can find on these things.
But if she was a white woman, yeah, you'd hear all about it. And not that white women, I mean, not that any woman shouldn't get that attention, but like,
but that's the disparity. It should that's be what everybody. We're trying to point out. Yes.
Yeah.
Every case should be getting the same type of coverage. But the fact of the matter is, white.
It's not. Yeah.
Is what's covered.
Yeah.
And that's unless sad. It's something sensationalized, because again, we still have the Excelsior Springs stuff going on that I still struggle to find any information on.
I was just trying to look that up the other night and I couldn't find anything new. And I was like, that's bizarre.
Except the police are still standing by their story that they never had any indication that there were women going missing from that area.
Of course. Of course they're going to say that. Like always, it's not their fault and they didn't know. And, you know,
listen, if you look it up, there's been some other shit with the Kansas City Police Department that...
Yeah, it's hard to trust police because of the bad ones. And then it's like, you know, because of things like this.
Well, especially when you have like a whole, what seems like a whole city's police.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's really scary. Like, we're supposed to be able to trust the police to help us. And there are great cops, I will say that. But the ones that are bad are the ones that it sucks because everybody loses their trust. And it's like, who do you turn to?
I mean, unfortunately, it's like one of those. It's one of those things that it's like, you know, when women are like, I'm scared of men. And they're like, well, not all men. Well, no, not all men. But in general, I have to be afraid of all men.
Because of it. Yeah,
because totally. Of it. Because I don't know which one's going to be a nice one and which one's going to be the wrong one.
I know.
Like,
I know. It's terrible. So
that's where, like, when people, not all, I was like, okay, not all. But, like, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in general.
Yes. Women have to fear men. Because of it, you have to be. Yeah. Yes.
And in general, especially people of minority, or cannot trust the police officers because of their skin color.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. And it is scary. And it makes you just aware of everything. And I hate that, like, you can't trust anyone. We were at the store the other day and there was this guy that happened to be going down every same aisle we went down. I think it was just coincidence because of the way he was going that way. We were going this way.
Yeah.
And it was funny because even my daughter looked at me. She goes, is that guy following us? I was like, I don't know. Let's just like go over here. And then later he was standing right next to her. And I was like, hey, get up here. And I like pulled her up and he kind of looked. And then I was like, I kind of felt bad because I was like, maybe he is just a nice older man. But I thought, you know what? Like, I'm sorry, you might be, but you have to realize too how you're coming across. If you're really not following us around, you need to be aware of your surroundings then, because we are not just putting up with it.
See, but you feeling guilty, you shouldn't feel guilty, but we're trained that way from a young age to be polite, which is why politeness. I have to say fuck politeness.
Yeah.
Yes. Fuck that shit, because politeness will get you killed.
Yeah, just like open windows. I was telling someone that the other day on the Morbid podcast, they always say fresh air is for dead people. And I'm like, you know what, Cassie, that is so true. They have stickers that say that now too. They're like, yep, that's, you know, someone climbs in that window. That's always what happens. It's always an open window. So fresh air is for dead people.
I sleep with my bedroom window open when it's nice enough, but also to get to my bedroom window,
it's probably
one, the neighbors behind me are older and they wake up real early.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna get, I'm also a light sleeper. Wick is gonna growl and bark if someone's putting a ladder up to our house. They'd have to have a ladder to get up. Now I'm not gonna sleep with any of the floor level windows open or any of that shit.
No, I know. It's so true. I just had to give you shit because I know that you like to keep them open and I like an open window, but I get real paranoid I mean, even when I have someone over, I have like every door locked, and when they leave, they're like, how do I, what? I'm like, yep, sorry. I know it's the middle of a day, but
no, we're not going anywhere. People, things happen during the middle of the day. I still keep everything locked during the day too. But my husband's made fun of me because sometimes when it's nice, I have our door closed, our screen door closed, but then I have the window open so we get the cross breeze, because our house, we don't have good cross breeze windows.
Yeah.
So I keep that storm door, but I flip the lock on it, and he's like, they could just cut through the screen. I was like, yeah, but I'm going to hear that and have time to grab something or run out the back door.
They have to be really like determined to get in. I mean, not that it's hard, but it gives you a little bit of a heads up. I always lock my storm door too, just because. Yeah.
Well, and I'm like, granted, sure, they could bust out the screen, but I'm going to hear it. Also, we have the camera right there. So hello, fucker. Even if you kill me, you're already caught.
Correct.
You're going down with me.
No, it's true. That's why we have those.
Exit strategies for my house.
Correct.
If it's just me, I've easily got the back door sliding out. If it's like me and the kids and we're upstairs, my window's high enough that like someone can easily get in, but close enough to the ground that if I jumped with the children, I might hurt something.
But you're not going to die from the jump.
But I'm not going to die.
There's this book I'm reading called The Final Girl Support Group. I'm almost done with it. It is fabulous. And it reminds me, I mean, it's about all these girls that are, you know, the final girls of all the
murders. I need to borrow that from you when you're
done. You'll love it. But in there, it's funny because she's so paranoid. She has like 20 backup plans for everything. And she has different cars parked around the city in case she would have to flee. And then she has separate lock boxes that have different sets of keys to different places. And like, it is so funny, but it's like
multiple cars.
Yeah, probably because she probably got some big settlement. I don't know. I mean, they're crappy cars. But then in each, like, she has all these different, like, lockers that she's rented places. And in there, each bag has, like, $3,000. And she has, like, 5 different IDs to use for different places. And it talks about when she's walking places, she observes shoes. And if she sees a pair of shoes that's the same, is what triggers her that someone's following her. Like, it's very, like, victim-minded. I mean, in the sense of, like, oh, that's actually not a bad idea. Like, she had a lot of things planned out. So like, you know what? I know that's a book and it's fiction, but like it's real life too. So
yeah,
I think it's good. Everybody get your backup plans.
Listen, the other night I was driving home and it was late from somewhere. I think I was over at my sister's because she had foot surgery and I had to help her with something. And there was a truck behind me for a long time. And I was like, okay, to the point where I'm almost to my turn. And thankfully they turned a block before mine, because I was already thinking in my head, I'm like, it's a little later.
I'm not going this way. Yeah.
I'm not going to go home.
Yeah.
I guess. And then I'm like, do I drive to the police station? Is that going to do me any good? Where do I go? And who do I call?
A very public place at that time that there would be lots of people.
Yeah.
I know. Did you see on the news? And then, sorry, I know we're just rambling now, but there was a little boy, I think he was like 10 maybe, and he was walking home from something and then he noticed a woman following him and he remembered that his dad told him to stay super calm, don't get worked up because people can sense that. He was so smart. He walked into like some convenience store or something and the woman that was working was like 17 or she was young, but he came up to her and said, pretend you're my mom. This lady's following me. And the lady just kind of stood by the door and the clerk, the cashier, whatever, shut that door, locked the door until the woman left and she called the cops. And it turns out this woman, I mean, had a mental illness but still you don't know. And like, they were so like just impressed that this kid stayed calm and he knew exactly what to do in that kind of situation. And I thought,
yeah,
good. That could have ended a very different way. So good for that lady too, for like just stepping in and helping him. So
that's awesome.
And there's good stories sometimes.
There is. Unfortunately, you know, even if it was like a mental illness thing and maybe she thought, you know what I mean? The problem is unfortunately we don't have good mental health care either. It's a whole other thing.
And who knows and what would have happened.
Some people can be violent if they're not on their medications. If she, who knows what kind of things she was thinking in her head right then and there.
Yeah. Even if it was an innocent thing, you don't know.
No. So yeah, good on him for doing that.
I was very impressed with that story. I meant to send that to you, by the way, but I mean, there it is. Now you know.
Yes, I do. That's just... That's my goodness. The world we live in these days, I just don't even know anymore.
I know.
Did you see there was a teacher, God, I can't even remember where it was now, who got recorded as an older white guy who blatantly told his classroom of mainly black kids that the white race was the supreme race.
No, I didn't see that one.
And he, ooh, like,
was this the South place? Somewhere in the South?
I don't remember where I saw. I probably came across it on TikTok. I won't lie.
That's crazy.
But he was like, well, you guys should respect me more for being honest. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I hope you get respected in prison. And when you lose, well, I don't know about that, but when you lose your teaching license and all the things and you never teach again, but okay, buddy.
It's like, how in 2022 do we still have people like this I teaching?
Know. That's sick. That is like,
here we have a teacher shortage everywhere and stuff.
Right.
And the ones that are still
go
there.
And do that? I know. God. Really, bro? Wow. I want to say that surprises me, but like nothing surprises me anymore. The things that people do and say, like,
I just can't. I can't with the world anymore.
I know. It's rough out there.
It is.
Yeah.
Wow. But I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's... You guys, just thank you again for your patience. For those of you who have reached out to us, making sure we're okay.
I know. Everyone's like, are you dying? I'm like, no. I mean, it's like one thing and then another and then another. And I think we got everything now. So I hope we're like good
Knock
to go
on wood,
now.
Because my daughter might be that's getting true. Sick now too.
Oh God. Yes, so. That's true. It is
we'll
the season.
See. I know. And well, and it doesn't, I, you know, being a responsible adult, and I've been picking up hours at work too. So this is like thrown me off as well, because now I never know what day it is. It's not, it's for 8 extra hours a week, 4 hours a couple times,
but
it still throws me off.
Yeah. It's a lot. And then it's going to just get worse when like, then you're out. I mean, school's out because of Thanksgiving and all that.
And then
a couple weeks and then it's Christmas.
Is your daughter out all week next week?
No. Are your kids?
Yeah.
Wow. It's my crazy daughter, to me, these school districts, how different they do things. We have school
early
Monday
education.
And Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. So early education, which my daughter's in, the early education preschool, they always have some random ass days off. So like they were off today, which thank goodness, because she's not feeling great.
Yeah, that worked out.
But then OPS is just out all next week.
Well, that makes sense. My neighbors or teachers there and their kids go there and they're in Hawaii. They went to Hawaii this week. And I was like, dang, you're missing a lot of school. But no, guess they're not.
No.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a couple weeks. So then they'll have like, what, two and a half weeks of school. And then they're out
Yeah,
for
like
two
and
weeks.
A half. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I can't believe
Except
that.
I am excited because I realized I'm off for 2 weeks too. Because
That's
I took
nice.
The Monday after Christmas and the Monday after New Year's off.
Oh yeah, so you're good to go. I wish
so. I'm good to go.
Same,
I won't
but...
be. Yeah.
I don't even know though. They do give us a lot of days off. It's legit. Like they do a lot of nice things. They sent me a really nice blanket in the mail the other day. Just
ooh, I love
FYI,
a good blanket.
It's a big Sherpa blanket. Like it's nice. It says we're wrapping you in gratitude. I'm like, I will take a free blanket. Thank you.
Hell
so
yeah.
It's fine. I'll work if I get free things. So
my son has my love for blankets. We were all at Walmart last week and he was like, oh, look at this blanket. My husband's like, we have plenty of blankets. Why do we need more?
But did we didn't need any more either, but I love a blanket.
Oh, I would have
loved blankets. And
if it was up to me, we totally would have grabbed them. They were only like $5.
Yeah, I know.
It's so
soft. I'm like, okay, I'm not mad about it ever.
No.
But.
No. But yeah, so you guys, if you're not a Patreon member, you're going to hear this on Wednesday. And then followed by immediately by episode 38. If you're a Patreon member, Luis, thank you. Maybe some other people will join because once I get this edited and posted, I'll probably share to the socials. Like, hey, you can check it out now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool. I mean, honestly, you think about $5 a month, even it's like one coffee a month at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Actually, that's like less than even a coffee. I went there the other day and I was like, oh gosh, I forgot how expensive it is, you know, because I've had gift cards, I feel like forever. And it's like, finally now I'm paying and I don't like it.
Yeah. No.
But it helps us out a lot, guys. And
it does. And
you get
just
benefits. So
yeah. And it's just so we can help you, which Luis, we promise we're getting you your stickers. We owe you. We're in the process of trying to get those made. But that's where too, like, it helps us so we can do stuff for you guys. So we can put it into this, so we can send you guys stuff. So Patreon, that'll be linked in the show notes. You can find that on any of our socials, which is Twitter, Facebook. I mean, Twitter for now. Who knows? That looks like it's going up in smokes.
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review, please, if you can, wherever you listen. And until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.